From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruryak. Like many for-profit, nonprofit, and government organizations across the country, the National Forest Service has had to address harassment and retaliation toward employees, toward women in particular. We addressed this in 2018 with Vicki Christensen. She was then the interim chief of the U.S. Forest Service, and she's since been named the chief. A class action lawsuit had been filed against the Forest Service in California. There were National Park Service lawsuits, too. I asked her how prevalent harassment and misconduct was in the U.S. Forest Service.
We have had a bright light shine on us. Problems with harassment, assault, bullying, and retaliation that the Forest Service has been combating for years. These are problems that we don't take lightly. It's critical for our mission to ensure that our entire workplace, our entire workforce, has a work environment that is healthy, safe, productive, inclusive, and free from any kind of harassment.
What are some of the factors in this type of work that have either created the atmosphere for the problem or added to the problem? In some stories, I've read about the remoteness, for the example, of locations where people work, adding to the opportunity.
Yes, one of my first actions as interim chief was to announce a focus on our workplace as the top priority for the agency. In addition to actions we've already put in place, I've announced several initiatives. One of the first is being listening sessions that every agency leader is holding with every employee. So we can hear from employees' perspectives what is going on and what we need to do to help them feel safe and protected.
California has been dealing with this issue in the entertainment field, in politics. That's not to say that it hasn't been dealt with in some ways in every state in the country. And there's uniqueness often to each industry. What for you are the targets to create some real change? And how quickly can the agency respond with some solutions or changes?
It's multifold. We are, of course, putting on additional resources. We've expanded our harassment policy to strengthen it, make it much more broad. It is everyone's responsibility, and we will hold everyone accountable for what they see and must report. So we're doing things on the back end. We've opened up a 7-day-a-week harassment reporting center, so folks that do not feel safe to report up within their work unit, opened an intranet page about our harassment program called Stand Up for Each Other. This is on the back end, on the front end, on how we get the work environment that we all can thrive in and feel respected in, and understanding what's underneath of these behaviors. We are committed to put the time, energy, and focus that this movement demands in the Forest Service, and we will learn and adjust. And I can guarantee you, I know that only strong, unambiguous actions will get us to where we want to be in the future.
To what degree is the reality of the problem a surprise? How much was it either unknown or undefined on a national level?
It's not a complete surprise, the complexity of it. And, you know, I do have to acknowledge the movement that we just have in this nation is really helping us have folks that will really talk and understand. It's about breaking the silence. It's about really getting the understanding of the dynamics. We are in a high-risk, high-operation workforce. There is quite a bit of stress. I'm not using that as an excuse, but we need to really understand what is underneath the behaviors in the workplace. So it's not a surprise, but it's a commitment to go deeper and have the difficult conversations, because we cannot fix what we do not acknowledge and understand.
Will you talk a bit about how the Forest Service mission has changed over the years, and if the roles of employees assigned to fire protection specifically have changed?
The mission of the Forest Service has not changed. Our mission is to sustain the health, diversity, and productivity of the nation's forests and grasslands for current and future generations. And within that mission, protecting lands, communities, and lives from wildfire is a piece of that. What has changed is the complexity of our work, the dynamic nature of our work. We work with hundreds of communities. We work with multiple partners that are really necessary in this complex, ever-increasing pace of wild land fire in particular. But there's other stressors, insects and disease, invasive species. And the benefits of the nation's forest and the water it supplies and the recreational opportunities and the products it produces for the economic opportunities for rural communities really demands that we have a healthy and productive workforce so we can provide those benefits.
So they're connected in that way. In some sense, you have the management of the lands and the firefighting operations, and you've got these interpersonal workforce issues too. For you, is it clear where the priorities are?
The priorities are both because they're so interlinked. Our mission is what established the Forest Service. We exist because the people want us to exist, to ensure the benefits of the forest are provided for this generation and next generations. But the workforce is the heartbeat of providing that mission. And if we don't have a safe and healthy workforce, we can't accomplish the mission. So they really are hand in hand, both a priority.
You're here in what we now call year-long fire season. There's no start, there's no finish. It's always a conversation about funding and CAL FIRE's state management. We hear the phrase unified command and unified approach in resources. So what are you here to say in terms of changes that Congress is making in funding and how CAL FIRE is to be in partnership with U.S. federal funding?
USDA Forest Service owes a huge debt of gratitude to Congress for the reforms that will help us actively manage the nation's forests and support the rural economies. As we have talked about, we now have a fire year. Fires are more complex, they're longer duration, and no one organization can tackle these fires alone. Our partnerships with CAL FIRE, the local fire protection areas, the other federal agencies and the tribes are absolutely critical for any of us to respond on the whole. As we know, fires know no boundaries, and we respond together in this unified command. But what the fire funding fix will do is it will help stabilize the operating environment for the Forest Service. We have a constrained budget. I call it a piece of a pie. It's a pie. And over the years, the amount of our pie that has gone to wildland fire suppression has grown. In 1995, 16% of the Forest Service budget went to fire. 2017, it was 56%. That means all of the other investments in non-fire programs, treating the landscape for forest health, for watershed improvement, for recreation and public access, that was what gets shortchanged. So with Congress's action, we'll be able...
Meaning in the omnibus spending bill.
Yes, in the omnibus spending bill, that will freeze the continual erosion of our budget starting in 2020, and we'll be able to work on investing and putting more work on the ground, thinning the forest and forest health treatments, recreational access, and that will make us better neighbors, and that will help us be more responsive to these wildfires.
So funding stays the same for the 2018 and 2019 fire years?
Well, Congress added an additional $500 million to our suppression funds for 18, and they signaled that they'll do the same for 19.
That's emergency funding, correct?
That is. That is.
So if we end up with some of the mega fires that we've had in recent past years, there is funding that can kick in, but the whole shift to the structure of funding won't change till 2020.
Yeah, the rising cost of the 10-year average, fires keep getting more expensive each year, so the rolling 10-year average keeps getting bigger. If we stayed on the trajectory we were on, we projected by the year 2021, 67% of our agency's funding would have gone to wildfire. This fix, fire funding fix in the omnibus, stabilizes that. We'll go back to the 10-year average of wildfire suppression costs back to 2015. So that will really help us get it back in balance.
Is that going to be enough for wildfire suppression? We seem to be accelerating, at least in California and in much of the West, in not only the number of fires, but the size.
Yeah, we really feel, because there will be a separate fund created for those 2% of the fires that become very large. We still are able to do what we call initial attack success rate on 98% of our fires. It's just the 2% that become very complex, large, and costly because they're in such significant conditions, obviously, weather, fuels, and topography. There'll be a separate fund that will pay for those fires starting 2020.
Can you describe how this works, for example, in California with training over the winter season and then a sharing of resources? Do you have a way to talk about the overlap that happens with CAL FIRE?
Certainly. I came with 30 years of being a partner with the Forest Service, and it is absolutely essential that we acknowledge there are different missions. For example, we on the Forest Service are a land manager and a fire manager on the same piece of land. CAL FIRE, they are protecting other people's land, and so they have a different mission. But our training standards are the same. Our opportunities and our problems we share together. We work them out very closely, and we set the tone in the top leadership on what we expect that our leaders all the way to the frontline fire responders will emulate. And that's about we're all in this together. We need each other. We support each other. We're going to have each other's backs. And, you know, even in this work environment issues, our 30,000 people, 30,000 employees in the Forest Service and the employees of all our partners and the American people deserve nothing less than full safety and thriving and resilience. And we're committed to do this together.
That was Vicki Christensen, Chief of the National Forest Service, which is under the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We spoke in May of 2018. You're listening to an encore episode of Insight on CAP Radio.